Social media has changed the world of punditry and the narratives all over the world and here in South Africa as well. And there have been a lot of fresh voices that have emerged. Among them is Pumlani Majosi, who we're going to be talking with today, finding out a little bit more about him. And we'll be doing similar interviews in the next little while to introduce you to the fresh voices that have made such a difference in this country. Well, Pumlani, I'm glad we're starting with you because you've made your name by talking about the kind of stuff that we like to talk about at BizNews as well, free enterprise, the power of the sovereign individual, trying to give people more freedom and responsibility. But it's not a, well, I won't say it's a, it's certainly not the majority narrative that one hears in South Africa. But let's go back a little bit into your background. You told me off air that you're 35 years old, so you are, you've got the energy and the vitality of youth, but you've got an interesting academic career. Let's take us through that quickly.
Yeah. Thanks, Alec. It's great to be on your platform. And thank you so much for the wonderful work that you do for South Africa. I'm from KwaZulu-Natal, Stena, a very small town in the North Coast. So that's where I grew up. Did high school there in Groutville. And then after high school, I went to Rhodes University in the Eastern Cape, where I studied economics and information systems. It was a very interesting year. I remember that in my first year, I joined a group of young people who were very much on the left, who were very much advocating for leftist ideas. But I didn't stay that long. It was just my first year. I didn't stay that long in that organization, partly because it was a bit militant, and I'm not sure a radical leftist, a militancy is something that is in me. In fact, even back then, it wasn't something that was in me. So I only stayed in that, society. It was called society back and then, or that movement in campus for just 1 year. But then I finished my undergrad studies at Rhodes, and then I went to UCT and spent a year there doing economics and information systems studies as well. And then after that, I came to Johannesburg, where I worked for a few, corporate companies since 2012. In the process of being in the corporate world, I've always been fascinated and very much interested by the ideas of public policy, the ideas of economics, the ideas of politics. You know, I remember when I was, an undergrad student, even when I was in high school, the things that I used to watch, they were so interesting because I was very much interested in the international news. I remember when I was in high school, I would come back from home and then watch some international news. And in the morning, preparing to go, before I go to school, I remember I would switch on to BBC World News, a high school learner doing all of that before going to school. It was quite interesting when I think about it. But as I'm saying, in Joburg, I was very much during my adult professional life interested in the ideas of public policy as well. And then as I was working in corporate, I got myself on part-time basis to be involved with organizations like the Free Market Foundation, because I liked what they were talking about, a free enterprise system, individual freedoms, the idea of or ideas of personal responsibility. So I got much involved with the Free Market Foundation. Did some youth programs, and then at some point got to sit on its board. And then along the way came the Institute of Race Relations. I got involved there as well. I'm also now involved with OUTA as well. These are the organizations that very much sort of do something that is good for the country. They try to hold our leaders to account, and they propose ideas that I believe are fundamental to address our socio-economic challenges that we face in the country. And I hope that you and I are going to touch on those socioeconomic challenges in our conversation.
Yeah, of course we will. And people can also read your book, that your most recent book. Is that the first one that you published?
It's the first one, my first book, Lessons from Past Heroes. It's a book written to say, look, we need to get things ourselves done. You know, let's embrace a free market system. Let's embrace the personal responsibility, very important, hard work, the ideas of the importance of the family, very much, discussed in the book. Because remember, Alec, in South Africa, at least I think about 62% of kids are not growing up with their fathers, and that is destructive. When you break it down by race, it's even shocking, because only 32% of kids, of black kids, are growing up with their fathers. You know, in other words, the majority, they are not growing up with their fathers. And we've seen the research worldwide of the impact that does when a child is growing up without in a broken family, without a father, without they get lost. In other words, there's a very high chance that things will go the wrong way in their lives. So the book touches on those things. And by the way, it also discussed what my thinking was before the election that took place on May 29 this year, what would have been a better outcome for South Africa. And what I was saying there, I had my view was that in the book, it would be better if the ANC and the DA found themselves, governing the country. That is what I also discussed on the book. It's a book also about the history of South Africa, where we come from as a nation. Was I thought, let me pick up the people who did amazing things, Alec. You know, even in difficult times, in the pre-1994 era, right? These people were in business, they were in entertainment, some of them were in politics. These are people who overcame the difficulties of a system that was very much designed in a racist way, a system that was oppressive, yet they managed to, to work on their lives and to improve themselves. And the question I ask then is, what is it that can stop us now in a democratic South Africa, right, to better our lives, to improve our lives, to be productive participants in the market, and to bring change in the country. And in the book, I strongly argue against the black economic empowerment policies. Not that the intention was bad or has been bad, but the idea that there's nothing wrong with trying to uplift the disadvantaged people, but the moment you do it according to people's race, it's not a productive thing, because we are going to end up enriching the black elite, which is what has been happening with the black economic empowerment programs. So in the book, I'm not saying that we should not have, proper or programs aimed at uplifting poor people. I'm just saying that we can have them, but they must not be racial, Anne. Don't make them racial, right? In other words, have a program for every South African. And by the way, the majority of those people who will be beneficiaries would be black people, because they are the most advantaged in terms of the economic status. So those are the arguments I make in the book.
So interesting the point you make now, because I have the advantage of having been around during the 90s and seeing what was happening then. But being a bit of a lone voice, I think, I traveled to India, saw how they had worked, and in particular a company called Tata, and how Jamshedpur Tata put together Jamshedpur Tata. Anyway, he was about 100 years ago he lived, and he put together a shareholding structure where the beneficiaries of the whole Tata group are actually organizations that uplift people. And they've made a massive change. I think the Tata family own less than 1% of the company. And those were the kind of opportunities that South Africa had right then. But big business decided, rather let's recruit some people onto our boards, and then they would in that way be role models and so on. There's a wonderful bit of revisionist history that one needs to have a look at to try and get back to what the original principle was and where we've ended up now. But going forward, going into where we are today, we have a government of national unity. You argued, as you say in your book, for some kind of collaboration between the ANC and the DA. Well, they certainly got it now. The DA have brought through 4 members of the cabinet who are in their 30s. And we never had anybody in their 30s in the last cabinet. In fact, I've just done some research today. The average age of the cabinet member has dropped from 61 years old to 54. So we're 7 years down, helped along by those 4 DA cabinet members. But what are your views, being a young man, being a young South African, having very strong opinions on how our country can prosper? What are your views on what's happened since May the 29th, perhaps in a way updating those who have read your book?
Yeah, so, I just came back from the US, Alec. I spent last month, in fact, I got here yesterday, last night, from the US. I spent a month there for some business-related stuff. But I also got invited to the Aspen Ideas Festival, which is a big conference in Aspen in Colorado. I was one of the speakers there. So it was quite an honor to really rub shoulders with big, names in America in business, and some in politics as well. And when I spoke there, in that panel discussion, that was looking at Africa. What's the way forward? What are the opportunities? What are the challenges Africa faces, and how we can address them? The point I made there when I was asked about South Africa was that I am proud of my country in the sense that, it is a liberation movement that liberated black people, and it has portrayed itself as that over the past 30 years. But on May 29, it suffered at the polls, right? And after suffering from at the polls, they came out and considered them. The loss that we have lost, we've lost the election. We are going to go forward and try to form a government where we will have to collaborate with other parties. So that smooth sort of peaceful transition, I think it was for me, I think it's a positive thing about South Africa. The Economist wrote not long time ago, recently, where they were looking at the state of democracy around the world. And they said that, yes, South Africa's democracy does have flaws, but it remains a relatively better democracy in comparison to other countries in sub-Saharan Africa. And I think they do have a point in that our democracy has held up. We have active NGOs, we have active media. We don't have to agree with these people, Alec. Their agenda, each have their agenda, but it's a nature of a democracy where people have a right to have their agendas and push them, right? So, I've been happy with our democracy, of how things have gone over since May 29, and I'm proud of that. Now, the new era begins of this coalition government. What has disappointed me, or this government of national unity, what has disappointed me is that I would have loved the government to be smaller, right? Right now, it's been blotted. It's a big blotted government, and I'm against that because it's going to impose a huge cost on taxpayers. I wish it was a smaller, cabinet, and I do believe that it could have been smaller, because look, Alec, there was no need to create a government of national unity to try and make so many parties, about 10, if I'm not mistaken, to form part of them, of the government of national unity, was not necessary. For the ANC, they should have said either we go with the EFF and the MK, or we go with the DA and the IFP to make things easier and to try and limit the size of government. The fact that they called on this government of national unity and to include so many parties, for me, I don't think that was a responsible thing to do from their part. But anyway, it's done now. The question is, what can we, hopefully we can get better growth rates here. Because remember, our economic growth rates are so terrible in the country, right? We are just growing at around, in fact, 1 or less than 1%. You know, that's been the case when we need plus minus, 5% economic growth to seriously reduce the current shocking unemployment rates. We hope things like criminality will be addressed in the country. Crime is a serious problem.
What do you think about the appointments? I get that we've got 32 ministries now, that it's bloated. I get that there are some of the ministries, some ministers, cabinet ministers, have literally got one seat in government. There are a couple of them like that. But looking ahead, the steps that have been taken, the direction that we're going, the point that you would have made in Aspen that many other democracies, young democracies, didn't last very long, and yet ours seems to be doing all the right things when many of the old democracies could be going in the wrong direction. We're seeing crazy things happening in the first world, in the Western world as well. When you look at our country today, as a young man, as a man who's got a loud voice, nearly 100,000 people follow you on Twitter. They read your books. You published all over the place. What is in your heart? Is it one of hope? Is it one of we are going in the right direction, we can get better? Or is it one of despair? And boy, I've just got to shake these guys out of their lethargy. Otherwise, we're going to end up in a bad place.
No, look, I'm not in a state of despair. No, I'm not at all. There's a sense of hope. There's a sense of progress. I think our institutions are working. That's not to say that there won't be people who try and hijack them for their personal motives or political motives or agendas. That is going to happen. It does happen in a democracy. But I think we are making progress in terms of institutions. I may not be happy with some of the policies that have been pursued during the time the ANC has been in power over the years. But again, it's a democracy. You know, when you are not happy with certain policies, you can then challenge them. And the May 29 election was a chance for South Africans to either approve or disapprove some of the ideas that are being put in front of them. I have a sense of hope, Alex. I do have a sense of hope, and I think this new phase, this is a new phase now of governance. The ANC has been put in a spot where it doesn't have to do things anyhow. And of course, with the DA and other parties, they are going to make sure that they push for better governance in the ANC and that the ANC doesn't do anyhow. I do believe that the ministries that are critical for our development, they do have the people who will do not a bad job. My hope is that, things like education. Education is very, very important, Alec, because if you are in a situation where you have at least 81% of grade 4 learners cannot read for meaning, that's a fundamental problem. You need to get basic education right if you want to make South Africa a globally competitive nation. So I do have a sense of hope now, and I think I'm happy that nothing's perfect. I'm just happy that we've transitioned from this one dominant party that was already abusing its power into a phase where now there is this kind of government that is formed of people of various parties with better ideals, some of them, like the DA, because I do agree with many of their economic ideals, and I think they are what our country needs in terms of creating a stronger competitive market.
Just to close off with, would you ever go into politics? Is that part of your future? And I ask this because you are certainly wanting to get your ideas and your opinions and your thoughts out into the public domain and being very successful at it. So what's behind that?
Well, I think at this point, I've received this question. I've been asked this question a few times. At this point, there is no thought of going into politics. Whether it could happen, I don't know. But for me, I think there is a gap that needs to be filled. To let your audience know, I'm also starting my own think tank now, right? that will promote and push for free market ideas. You will hear about the name of this think tank soon, but I'm starting that. And I want to shape the climate of opinion, Ale. You know, democracy is not about ANC versus the MK party, or ANC versus the DA, or ANC versus EFF. It's about the contestation of ideas as well. We need ideas to compete. How should we organize our society? Should we make a society where there are bigger government interventions in people's lives, or should we create a society where there is lesser interventions of government in people's lives? So we need to, right now, I'm quite concerned that, yes, our democracy is sort of making progress. It does exist. But I'm not seeing the contestation, a strong contestation of ideas, pro-market versus, pro-government ideas. I'm not seeing that robust contestation. And I think that we need more pro-market ideas coming into the public space. And my focus now is to push for that in the country. Whether politics do come through in future, we shall see about that. But for now, let's fight for an environment where there is a serious debate on the ideas on how we should organize our society, especially with respect to the role of government.
South African thought leader Phumlani Majozi, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.